listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Christ who comes to us once again in this busy, hectic time in peace. Amen. Friends in Christ, I'm going to blow your minds with what I am about to say. I can say this with confidence too, because these are not my words. I'm not even exactly sure who said this first, but it wasn't me. Are you ready? The devil is the need to defeat the other. The devil is the need to defeat the other. You don't have to buy that hook, line, and sinker right away, but I'd like you to just repeat it back so it sticks for just a second. The devil is the need to defeat the other. Now, let me just say right off the bat that I am not talking about a little healthy competition on the playing field. Whether it's a board game or a card game or an ice rink or a baseball diamond, I love to win. I love to defeat the other, the opposition, just as much as anybody else. There is nothing wrong with sport. The Olympics and World Cups, I think at their best, these are wonderful events. At their best, they're not perfect by any means, but at their best, they come along every couple years, and there's an admirable spirit, I think, there that's intended, a spirit of unity and global peace, even, when athletes from around the world come together. I'm not talking about defeating the other in sports or in games. I'm talking about the way we think, the way we see and relate to each other and to the world. The devil is the need to defeat the other. Friends in Christ, we have been saturated for 400 years, since the time of the Renaissance at least, with dualistic thinking. Dualistic thinking. We have been taught to evaluate the world by sizing everything up to something else. And we do it, frankly, so much that we don't even realize it. Is it good or is it bad? Is it art or is it trash? Is it holy or is it an abomination? Is it brilliant or is it stupid? Is it appropriate or is it inappropriate? Dualistic thinking. Not that hard to understand, really. We compare constantly. My kids' grades are better or worse than your kids. Look at the size of my office compared to my high school buddy's office. Check out my level of success or my level of volunteer involvement compared with someone else, maybe another person who calls themselves Christian, maybe a whole church down the road or something. Look at what percentage of my income I give. Guess I'm better or worse. My level of education, my ability to climb the corporate ladder, make the right investment, build a better kitchen cabinet, teach a better lesson, speak more eloquently, look more beautiful. The devil is the need to defeat the other. And do you know what that really is? It's our ego that gets in there. And then the devil, the need to defeat the other, starts going to work. Watch for it this week. Our pride and our greed gets in there and we get attached to stuff. Politics in our country, masters of dualistic thinking. Oh, I just did it myself, just thinking about politics in our country. I did dualistic thinking. There's my judgment. If you're listening to me, if you haven't fallen asleep, and that's okay, that happens in church. If you need to fall asleep, you should fall asleep. But if you're still listening to me, you're doing dualistic thinking right now, I bet. You're doing it toward me. You can't help it. You're evaluating who's talking. Do you like what he's saying or not? Do you like what he's wearing or not? Do you like what you're seeing or not? Do you like his tone or his demeanor or not? We do this all through worship. We do it to our musicians too. I'm sorry, but we do. We do it with our prayers also. We do it with our readers. We do it with our kids. We're always evaluating. I get that often after the service. It was a good service today. It was a bad service. Nobody says that, but you kind of keep that to yourself. It was good to say it, right? It can be exhausting on both sides of the dualistic thinking. It can be exhausting dishing it out. It can be exhausting receiving it. It can just wear us down. Dualistic thinking. Can there be another way? Our gospel lesson today gives us some ideas, a glimpse of God, if you will. A glimpse of the one who is above the devil, above the need to defeat the other. God presides over all. As we bicker in this world and cut one another down, as our egos battle it out constantly, as our pride leads us down such destructive pathways, our God waits for us. Our gospel lesson today gives us an invitation, again, in the season of Lent, to return again to the one who is above the traps, the chains, the blindfolds of dualistic thinking. Our gospel lesson today gives us a glimpse of God, and she is in the image of a chicken. Now, don't go falling into the trap and the snare of dualism again. Just hear me out here. It's in the text. Jesus, we hear in our gospel today, is longing to gather all the broken world under his wing and laments in this beautiful song, really, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which is much more than just a city in the Middle East. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus cries. This image is so powerful. Not necessarily because we imagine God in this case as a mother chicken, but because of what that makes us, a bunch of little chicks. That's a powerful image. Our quibbles are like the peeps of little chicks. Have you seen this at the farm before? I mean, sometimes they fall in line, but most of the time, they're all over the place, right? Jesus longs to gather us from our frantic running about. Jesus longs to bring us under the warmth of his wing. New mothers and all caregivers know something about the feel of a child who's frantic, right? And picking up a frantic child who's crying, literally feeling that child's body start to calm down, start to go from this tensed up state of total agitation and fear, actually to sleep. With nothing more from the caregiver but physical contact and maybe a little song. That's God, the mothering hen. Loving, mothering God, how might we come to know your presence and your contact in our frantic and fear-filled lives? How can we know that? Well, one way is that communion. We taste this real stuff, this contact with bread and with wine. We can know it at the font of our baptism. And another way we can know this, this calm of God, is simply by breathing. Slow down and breathe. We learn this with our kids, and the science tells us it takes 4 deep cleansing breaths to just start to calm down. 4. I mean that slow inhale and slow exhale. Just by breathing, slow down and breathe. We need someone just to tell us that. Jesus says it to us today. Take any tough issue. Poverty, abortion, war, sexuality in the church, immigration, traditional versus contemporary music, welfare, healthcare, gun control, whatever issue it is that just gets your blood boiling, watch yourself fall into those traps of dualistic thinking, judgment, ego, pride, greed, attachment, scurrying around like little chicks, you see? Cheep, 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 cheep. It's natural for us to want to do that. Now, watch for the devil, the need to defeat the other side, and start instead to breathe. One of the ancient Hebrew words for God in the Old Testament is Yahweh. You know this. And this word was actually used today. You can find it in the English every time the word Lord in the Old Testament is in all caps. We kind of lose it. We just buzz right over it. But it actually did that today. It says, the Lord came and spoke to Abram in a vision when he was sleeping. But the ancient Hebrews, they would never say this word, Yahweh. They wouldn't even write it. They would just write the consonants. Y-H-W-H. And usually they didn't even write it much. They really didn't have to say or write the word of God. That was part of their reverence, part of their piety. But they really didn't even have to say or write the word for God. Because you see, Yahweh, is the word that requires the least amount of work, even for your mouth. Yahweh. In fact, it requires no work at all from your lips. Saying God's name, that is, giving praise and realizing the presence of God in our world, in our lives, in our bodies, over all the dualistic quibbles and peeps of our existence, saying God's name is as simple as breathing. Try it. It's as simple as breathing. We're saying God's name over and over. Yahweh. Yahweh. You see what the Hebrews were up to? God's name is spoken, invoked every time we take a breath, especially a deep breath. When we breathe the holy breath with which God has filled us and through which God abides in us, our ego falls out of the way. The blindfold of our dualism and all the pride and judgment and attachment that come with that, they fall from our eyes. And in our breathing, in our Yahweh-ing, we start to see actually with the eyes of God. Our bodies and souls calm down like a frantic baby being pulled to his mother's breast. But we don't just go to sleep. In fact, the opposite. The clarity that comes in knowing that we are sheltered and warmed under God's wing gives us the courage to act with the compassion, justice, and peace of Christ. That is the wisdom and the love of God's own self. And so being gathered under God's wing actually engages us with the world. But now with clarity and vision, filled to the utmost, as Luther said, filled to the utmost with God, every breath we take, and with the very eyes of Christ, we return to all those difficult issues, to our lives, to the brokenness of this world. We breathe God, friends in Christ. We breathe God, calm to our souls, release of our egos. And in so doing, we return to the world with lives of service, hope, joy, and love. This is the gift of Lent. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The Evangelical
evangelical. That was terrible.
To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.